I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is Halftime Adjustments on WPXI Now.
Good evening and welcome once again, and once again on Zoom. It's Halftime Adjustments. I'm Al Bjorkstrand, writer on this end, and on the other end is our buddy and our partner from DKPittsburghSports.com, Dejan Kovacevic. Hi, Dejan. How are you?
All right, Albie. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. We have the big win over the Tennessee Titans behind us. A little bit of a nail-biter. It certainly looked like it was going to be more of a blowout than it was. And the World Series is behind us now. So there's only one thing you can think about, and that's the Steelers' road to the Super Bowl. At least that's what some people are saying. But what are you saying as they go into this game with the Ravens? Do you give the Steelers, and if so, what is the edge over the Ravens going into this game?
Well, the first one, I think, Albie, is something of an intangible. I think anytime you're coming off a bye week, yeah, you're going to be fresher, you're going to be healthier, you're not going to be as banged up. You're not going to have Robert Spillane on your team recovering from trying to send Derrick Henry into orbit. But at the same time, you're idle and you can't manufacture game action. I'm sure John Harbaugh has been trying that over the course of the practices that they've had in Knowing Mills this week, but it's not going to be the same thing. So I think the Steelers could come out with an advantage in the first half, maybe just the first quarter, by being the sharper team, by being the aggressors. That's a little bit of an intangible. In a tangible sense, Albie, I think this is just a really, really good, complete football team. You know, I get that the second half from Nashville is going to leave a lot of people with a bad taste, but you saw it, Albie. I mean, you saw the Steelers moving the ball at will. You saw them spreading the ball around. You saw them shutting down, I think, for the better part of the game, one of the NFL's top three offenses. There's a lot there.
Yeah, and I think in a general sense, going into the Ravens game, I believe the Steelers have momentum, and not necessarily game-to-game momentum. That's not what I'm talking about here. But momentum in a general sense that they are unbeaten, not perfect, but perfect in terms of their record. They've gotten the job done. A little bit of luck, absolutely. But that's what it takes sometimes. I think that one of the big questions that was answered in this first stretch of games is Ben Roethlisberger. You know, the interceptions the other day notwithstanding. Listen, this is a team that has proven through six games that it has a very good defense. James Conner has impressed everybody with what he does. Running the football when we were doubting that maybe in the first couple games, especially when he was hurt. And Ben Roethlisberger has answered a lot of questions about where he is right now. His receiving core looks deeper than we even thought. When you get special teams play like they did on Sunday, all of this combined means that, you, to your point, this is a very good football team. And taking nothing away from the Baltimore Ravens, and it's a difficult game on the road, no doubt about it. The Ravens have a respectable loss, but they are looking up at the Steelers right now in the AFC North, and that swagger that comes with that, hey, we're back to being that team, I think will serve the Steelers well going into this game on Sunday.
Yeah, and the part that I like the best about your points is that you ran through the individual facets. It's not just about the fact that they're 6-0 and you're looking at that in the standings, and well, they've got a winning streak, and now they've beaten a couple of teams with winning records in a row, one of them on the road. That's all well and good, but when you have the individual facets each feeling good about themselves, and then from there a lot of individual players each feeling good about themselves and their specific performances, that's real momentum. That's something that does carry over from week to week, regardless of the opponent. When you're looking at examples I look on offense and see the week that Juju Smith-Schuster just had, coming up with 9 catches. Yeah, it was 14 targets. Yeah, Ben forced him to him a couple of times, including one of those interceptions, the key one there where he threw into triple coverage. But Juju's going to be feeling a lot better about himself going into Baltimore than he would have coming off, let's say, the previous game. The same can be said for a lot of different guys. Even some of the younger players on the offensive line, Chukwuma Okorafor, these guys, the biggest test that they would have faced would have been looking into themselves in a big matchup like this. I think there's a lot of positives out of this. And let's see, too, Albie, if Mike Hilton can get back on the field. I'd like to think that, you know, we all talked about Devin Bush not being there. Devin Bush, no, Devin Bush. But Mike Hilton is the Steelers' leading tackler. Mike Hilton was the guy that was doing all the damage in the backfield, remember? And it's funny how almost nobody even mentioned that he was out of this game. Let's see if he can make it back onto the field.
Yeah, and I think that your point about Devin Bush being injured and also bringing in the Mike Hilton situation underscores something else that and we'll get into this in our next segment as well. You know, how good are the Steelers and how much momentum do they have going into this game? Do they have an edge? Listen, everything from here on out will depend a lot on how healthy this team can stay. They, at least for the short term, the small sample that we have, they appear to have overcome the injury to Devin Bush. Now, there's no replacing him, but it's a team effort to do that. And certainly Spillane stepped up and made himself known in that game. So another quick point about the Ravens, you know, the quarterback is obviously a guy that can hurt you in a lot of ways. You have very deep, Mike Tomlin was talking about how deep that rushing attack is for the Ravens. But I think sometimes the Steelers, they get up to those challenges. They rise to those challenges. And I think that'll be the case on Sunday.
The deep running game that Baltimore has, the varied running game, will be the first the Steelers have faced. It's very different. And Tomlin talked about this too, than what was there in Tennessee, because you knew it was all coming from Derrick Henry. If you can find a way to stop Derrick Henry, you stop the running game. That is not true of the Ravens. And that's going to take the biggest adjustment.
All right. We're going to talk more about the Steelers and how good a team are the Steelers. Are they the best in the NFL? We're going to have that and more as Halftime Adjustments continues. Dan Kovacevic, Albie Oxenrider, back on WPXI Now after this.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to Halftime Adjustments, and we segue from Steelers to Steelers. This time, Dan, we're going to look at the question of how good are the Steelers, and are they the best team in the NFL? Let me just throw that right at you. What do you think?
Well, if we're being literal, it's not really an opinion, right? I mean, they just are. Are they going to be the best over the course of 16 games? Are they going to be the best playoff type team? There's a lot of questions still to be answered. There's still more holes to be exposed. And that was one of my big takeaways from Nashville. I ended up writing my column on the site about how the Steelers need to use that second half as a positive, as a learning experience, instead of thinking, wow, we're this dominant powerhouse that no longer can lose, which is what very much you'd be thinking after the first half, right? You know, not so much after the second. But I look at this team and I compare it to others and I say, all right, well, here's, you know, Kansas City looks like they're, you know, they're still going to be as good as they were last year when they won a Super Bowl, arguably better with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We'll see. Their defense is not looking the way it did last year. Seattle had been perfect, and then Seattle goes and loses to the Cardinals. Not that there's any shame in that. Cardinals are 5-2. You know, in the AFC, you're still talking about the same three teams. It's Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and Baltimore. But you know what, Albie? At the beginning of the season, everybody was just talking about Kansas City and Baltimore.
Yeah, and that's you ended with a really interesting point, because when you look on national websites, national publications, they seem to be ignoring the Steelers, and that's not a bad thing. I certainly don't think you headlines in the late October don't win championships, but you want the Steelers to be building momentum as they go through the middle part of their schedule. You want to get to December and make it December to remember, as Mike Tomlin always says. But listen, they're a little bit under the radar, despite the fact that they're the only unbeaten team in football. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. I mean, you see these power rankings, and I can barely use that term with a straight face because it means nothing. It's one person sitting down going, that's what a power ranking is. And I know this because I've actually done them. there's not right. much that goes
like,
into this.
Okay. Who do I put in third here? Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, where are the league standings? Okay, well, I'll make it look like that, and I'll shuffle a little bit. There's not that much. There's not that much to it. The Steelers are going to get their recognition. They're going to start getting a little bit more hype. But this team, this group of players with this head coach, aren't the type to get moved by that. They're just not. Especially the head coach, my goodness. The beauty of this situation, you can say all the bad things that you want about going right into Baltimore while they're on a bye week and the Steelers coming off a rough game against Tennessee. But the beauty of it is that they can't get happy with themselves. You never have to wonder whether or not you're going to get a tough game in Baltimore. They faced the Ravens when the Ravens were missing a quarter of their roster and lost. You remember those games?
Yeah, right.
And because Harbaugh would just come up with some kind of wacky scheme and the Steelers thought, wow, that's not really going to work. This is a different situation. When it's Baltimore, there's nothing that anybody has to do or say. And unlike most situations, Albie, those aren't cliches. You know, these are things that these guys, most of them who are on the Steelers roster and most of the Steelers coaches have lived through. That's going to be mutual. Both teams are going to come out completely prepared for the other. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah, and I always say that who's looking like the best team now? Well, I think the Steelers are certainly in the conversation. Mm-hmm. You make a good point about Kansas City, that they seem to be getting better as the weeks go by. They could, in fact, be a better team than they were last year when they won it all. Listen, Seattle's a great team. You saw them on Channel 11 on Sunday night. And Baltimore, I don't think you can get past looking at Baltimore. And there are a couple other teams you could throw in there. But the Steelers are in the conversation. By virtue of their record, as you mentioned, the Steelers are the best team in football right now. If you want to dig deeper, they're one of the best teams because you'll always get somebody who could argue one way or the other.
I feel obligated to point out that I'll put this on myself, but I just ran through this whole list and I never mentioned Tennessee. We should. Okay. I mean, they've got one loss and they've got the best running back in football. They've got the quarterback who is performing the best of anyone in football, whether or not he's actually the best at his position, in Ryan Tannehill. Right. And they were missing a couple of key guys on defense that the Steelers were able to expose, notably Adoree Jackson, the excellent cornerback that they have, who missed the game, and they had to go with the 36-year-old backup in his place. I think Tennessee can continue to get better. We saw them do that last year, and then we saw them go into Baltimore and wipe out the 14-2 Ravens. So I think they're another team that could come back and maybe even be a team that the Steelers face again.
Well, it's going to be real interesting in this middle part of the schedule. As I look down the schedule, Obviously, the two games with Baltimore stand out, and the game with Buffalo stands out. There might be some trap games in there. I mean, you know, I mean, certainly you would think at least you, as we discuss this right now, we can do this. The Steelers don't have this luxury, but clearly they should beat Dallas. And clearly there are a couple other games, namely the Bengals twice.
Oh, yeah.
They have Jaguars, some games to win.
Yeah. Bengals twice. Here's the thing. You're not going to win all those. I know everybody's going to want to win all those. Everybody's going to expect to win all those. And when they don't, it's going to be, oh, there's Tomlin playing back in the competition again or whatever. It's just math. You're playing a lot of football games and stuff's going to go wrong. It doesn't matter who it goes wrong against. But if they can take this Baltimore game and then their next three are Cowboys, Jaguars, and Bengals, they're setting themselves up for a run to the top seed.
All right. We're going to be back to talk about the Pitt Panthers and what to do with Pat Narduzzi when we come back on Halftime Adjustments. Welcome back to Halftime Adjustments. And we have to talk a little bit about Pitt. They were annihilated by Notre Dame last weekend. The losses are mounting for Pitt. After a start that got them in the top 25, and I realized that there was a win over Austin Peay there, and it wasn't really to be taken seriously, but it has just gone way bad very fast for Pitt. So the question is, Dan, what do you do with Pat Narduzzi? What do you think Pitt should – how do you think they should handle that?
Well, it's easy for me to say get rid of a guy. It's easy for the fans that are disillusioned and disappointed to say get rid of the guy. However, there are a couple of variables in this that are pretty significant. One is there's an ongoing pandemic, and no athletic department anywhere, no matter how illustrious or how big name it is bringing in cash. They can't even support football, let alone all of the other athletic programs that they have. And remember, football, and to a lesser extent, basketball, pay the bills. So for Heather Lyk to go to the chancellor at Pitt and to the Golden Panthers at Pitt and say, hey, this guy that I just gave the big extension to, we got to get rid of him. We got to buy him out. And he's signed through 2024. That's a tough discussion to have. So that's one thing. The other one is that, you know, who knows what they have, you know, who knows what their options are. Who knows what kind of situation they'll have moving forward. I think it's tough for this program right now. I think it's not impossible. I'm not going to be one of those people that says, oh, Pitt will never be this or Pitt will never be that again, because we've seen this guy Narduzzi recruit well. He can't coach to save his life. And he can't get a quarterback. And those are two really, really big flaws in Power 5 conference football teams. It just is.
And you mentioned that you would take a big buyout, and everybody has their opinions on how, oh, you get a big booster and you know, that buyout could be taken care of. But I think there are a lot – it's a multifaceted problem in the middle of the pandemic, as you mentioned. I frankly just don't know if it's a time to be bringing in a new coach. I mean, I think that there's this season, for a lot of reasons, for everybody, not just Pitt, was very strange. It was a strange off season. It was a strange spring. It was a strange summer camp. And Pitt's in a situation where, in retrospect, they weren't going to beat Notre Dame. Now, you could argue that they should have beaten BC.
Right.
You know, the fact of the matter is, Notre Dame's a better team than Pitt. And unfortunately for the Panthers, they're going to have to play Clemson on the road. They're going to have to play Georgia Tech. They're going to have to play Virginia Tech at home, which is a very tough game. They are in Miami on the road. This is a very difficult finish to this season.
I agree with you regarding Notre Dame. However, I also was there when Narduzzi and everybody else associated with the program was rightly crowing about the quality of this defense in particular. We were talking about breaking down football into individual facets in the last segment as it related to the Steelers. If you do that with Pitt, this was supposed to be no hype, no exaggeration, a top five defense in the country. I don't think anybody would dispute that. And that was true even after Jalen Twyman opted out. This was supposed to be a defense that could handle anyone. And it isn't. And it isn't for the simple reason that this coach can't get off of his man coverage schemes that he's been trying to ram down everybody's throat for 7 years, where the cornerbacks are just required to sit on an island. And when you see these individual players who got exposed badly under Narduzzi, like Avante Maddox is the one that stands out for me, and he goes to the Eagles in the NFL, and he's a really good player. And we see Pitt players become really good players when they get to the NFL, but they're not being utilized properly when they're here at Pitt. That's a real problem, Albie, and that's not one that shows even this much of a sign of correcting itself. This coach has no trace of regret, remorse for any decision that he makes, even some of the mind-boggling ones that he's made over the course of this season.
Quickly, do you think Pitt has a win over some of those teams that I mentioned? Do you think they have a win in their system? Because it's happened before.
No, I mean, they're not going to beat Clemson, okay? I mean, right. Trevor Lawrence is going to – he might run up 70 on them as great as he's playing down there. But I think, yeah, when you're talking about Georgia Tech, yeah, I mean, that's a win. That's an expected win. I don't look at the rest of this schedule, though, and see a whole lot. And I don't think you're going to see them in a bowl game, assuming there even are bowl games.
Well, and, you know, in the past, it seems that they've always come up with a win, even if the season has gone south, you know, like the Miami.
Yeah,
win,
but again, you know, the problem with all this, Albie, is that we're 7 years in. You know, we've been watching this guy for a long time, and all these patterns get old. It's not, there's no, you know, there's no, well, he'll change next year. He'll do it. No, this is officially old. And I think if you're going to make a move, you have to really strongly consider it this offseason while you still have a big portion of this defense here and have somebody go get a quarterback. 4 years of Kenny Pickett, come on.
All right. Back with our final thoughts with Dan right after this on Halftime Adjustments. Welcome back to Halftime Adjustments. Hey, real quickly on Pitt Day, and we were talking about, do they have a win over a better team in their system? Let me just say, I've never taken those wins real seriously, even going back to the Miami win. It's like playing golf, and you've had a horrible round, but you birdie 17, and you think, wow, that gives me life. I come back for more, and then you come back next time, and you're back to your bad old golf. So that's my analogy.
It's the same thing baseball people say about when somebody gets hot in September for a losing team. It's like, yeah, and – you know, he'll feel real good about himself through Christmas and the offseason. Big deal. It doesn't have any impact at all. Now, the games that Pitt needed to win, you know, are behind them. There's no question about that. Fortunately for us and for our discussion purposes, the games that the Steelers need to win are very much in front of them, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Real quickly, the Dodgers beat the Rays in the series. Any final thoughts to put the baseball season to bed?
I've never seen a dumber managerial decision than Kevin Cash pulling Blake Snell. Never, Albie. I still can't. I can't believe that I saw it. It's so dumb.
It will haunt him, no doubt about that. All right.
Maybe not.
End of a very strange season. Back next week with Halftime Adjustments. Thanks, Dan. We'll see all of you next week.